Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to our program today, and we hope that you'll enjoy this article and take notice of what we're going to talk about, so stay tuned. We're glad to have these panelists with us today. We have Bill. How are you, Bill?
Great, Doris. I'm happy to be here, happy to talk about this article.
Well, what is the article, Bill?
Well, we're talking about something, Doris, that people kind of take for granted, and that is the identity on your phones, your gadgets, your computers. And we're so busy having fun, playing games, making calls, sending text messages that we really need to pay attention to our personal information.
Our ID.
Yep.
Isn't that right?
Yep.
And we have Brian, one of our editors, Brian, with us today. Brian, tell us the name of the article and what page it's on in the magazine.
Okay, the article title is Don't Throw Away Your Identity, and today we're on page 26.
Okay, so if you have a magazine, you can open it, and if you don't have, listen in or check it out on your smartphone or your iPad, right?
Yeah, now, Doris, I know that you have several gadgets yourself and phones and iPads and things like that. Is this something that you think about, security and your personal identity?
Probably not as much as I should. Mm-hmm. We try to think about it, and we have certain things that are supposed to take care of it. We have certain security systems that mm-hmm. are supposed to take care of it.
Yeah.
But we're going to find out that we have to be really careful, Bill. And the article here, it says how to avoid passing along personal information when you pass along your gadgets, meaning when you get rid of them.
That's right, when you get rid of them, and many times you might even resell them as used items and get some money for them so you can buy the new one.
Or, and sometimes you give them away to your friends. You say, well, okay, I'll just give this to Brian or something, and you don't think about getting rid of all the information. Isn't that true?
That's true. It might even be to somebody you know.
Mm-hmm. So we have a good article with some good information on it. So on page 26, we're going to start reading. And let's read the first section down to the bottom of the page.
Don't throw away your identity. How to avoid passing along personal information when you pass along your gadgets. Thinking of selling or giving away your smartphone or laptop computer? If you have a BlackBerry or an iPhone, go right ahead. But if you have an Android phone or a computer running Windows XP, you may want to hold off. It turns out that it's almost impossible to get rid of personal information from some devices, even if you follow the manufacturer's directions for wiping the device clean.
I think a lot of people, when they get new gadgets or new smartphones or whatever these things are, they often just give them away to friends. Some people sell them or turn them in for new ones, don't they, Brian?
They sure do, because the new ones come out every 6 or 7 months.
A lot of times, Doris, also, you know, once you pass on your gadget or your computer or something to somebody else, you have no idea where that thing may end up, because then that person can pass it on to somebody else or somebody can steal it from that person. So you really lose control of the device. You lose control of your identity.
That's true. And just say here, if you have a BlackBerry or an iPhone, it's okay. So evidently, this problem is with Android systems.
That's right, Doris, and I never would have thought of that before reading this, that certain operating systems or certain brands are more at risk than other brands. So that's very good to know. If you are in the market for an Android phone or a computer running Windows XP, you need to be aware of this.
Well, it says if you have an Android phone or the computer that's running Windows XP, they're the older systems, and that's the ones you want to get a new one. It's faster, better programs. And you want to just give it to some kid even, whatever you do, you might want to hold off or you might want to think twice about it. Don't do it right away.
Yeah, when you hold off on something, you're saying, well, I'm going to wait on this. I am going to delay it. So, and yeah, you might want to hold off. Hold on to that gadget.
Hold on means to keep it, and hold off means to not do it. But, you know, it turns out that you can hardly get rid of this personal information from some devices. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, Doris. I suppose there's almost like a record or a log of a lot of the things you've done and stored on there.
Well, especially things like maybe your bank numbers or your Social Security if you're American. Or you might even, you know, I don't know what else you could put on there, Bill, that they might want.
Well, there's actually far more information that is stored on our devices, especially our computers, that we are really aware of. I'm thinking, for instance, if you have a laptop, something like that, we've got all these cookies. And it's very easy for somebody to take your computer, go into an email, and then they can find out, well, what is your email address? All they have to do is start hitting letters. Things start popping up that you entered before. So all of the sites, all of the things that you entered before, a good hacker can go in and just start hitting numbers and letters.
So for instance, if you have your banking online, and they might be able to get that information by doing that.
Well, they could get that information. And part of the problem is, one, okay, we've got identities and passwords. So a lot of times it's very easy to find an identity because of the cookies. The problem is then with a password, most people use similar passwords for everything. And so there's ways people can find out your password, and they can apply that password to almost anything that they can find out for any of your identities.
So it is a little scary, and it's almost impossible, even if you follow the manufacturer's directions, it tells you what to do, and you wipe the device clean. I did what they said. I deleted this. I deleted that. But we're going to find out that it could be a problem. So let's read the next column, read the next section.
Robert Siciliano, identity theft expert for the technology security firm McAfee, found this out in an experiment he conducted over the fall and winter. He bought 30 electronic devices from Craigslist, mostly smartphones and laptops, to see how effective people were at removing personal information from their gadgets before selling them. Siciliano was shocked to discover that some people didn't take any security precautions at all before selling a computer. One guy asked me to log him out of Gmail if he was still logged in. I had no idea how naive some people can be.
Well, tell us what this identity expert, Robert Siciliano, says.
Well, Mr. Siciliano did an experiment, and of course, he's an expert in this field of identity theft, working for a popular security firm, McAfee. And he conducted this experiment over two seasons, in which he took some devices that were used, and he was able to discover information that people didn't realize they had left on there.
Well, this is fascinating, and this is just a real-world study. It's kind of funny. You know, this is not some highfalutin academic study with, you know,
highfalutin
means real fancy, complicated, impressive.
Kind of a slangy word, right?
Well, that actually was one of our vocab focus words a couple of months ago.
That's kind of a slang word.
Remember that? Highfalutin.
Okay.
And, but, I mean, this is something that anybody could do. He bought 30 electronic devices from Craigslist. Now, Craigslist, of course, being an online marketplace, people sell everything.
And it's always quite cheap. I mean, you can really get really something for $30 or $40 that cost a few hundred dollars. So a lot of people buy from Craigslist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, I would call this an unscientific study, what he did, but this just shows you anybody could do this. Just go on there, buy some smartphones and laptops. Real cheap.
Why did he do that?
He wanted to see how effective they were or weren't at removing their personal information from the gadgets before they sold them or passed them on to other people. And it seems like sometimes maybe they had made an attempt. Maybe sometimes they hadn't made any attempt at all before they sold the devices.
Probably a lot of people don't think about it. I don't need this phone anymore. I'll just sell it on Craigslist. And they probably don't even think about it.
I don't think they do, Doris. They probably assume, well, if somebody doesn't have the login or password for the phone, they're not going to get it, but they can.
Right.
I would think, for instance, with smartphones, people might say, okay, I'm just going to go in, messages, delete, contacts, delete all, and, you know, calls, delete all, and people think, well, okay, I'm done. Not so. That information is still hidden in there. Likewise, with laptops, same thing. You might delete the files. You might copy them onto like a USB, but then go back and delete it. I have discovered that even when I delete things, it still is on there. It still will be on other files that I don't even know about.
That's the part that's kind of frightening, isn't it?
It is frightening.
It really is. So it's going to be really very important that we find out how we can get rid of these if we can. If we can't, we better just take a hammer and smash them up and not sell them, Bill.
Well, that's one of the methods. You know, during one of our breaks, I had recommended a large fire to melt everything down. That might be another way. Maybe you might want to put it in a container and toss it in the sea and have it float to the bottom of the ocean.
I'm not sure. Some scuba diver might find it down there, right? But, you know, this is one of the big problems that they're having, because information is something that we try to keep rather secret. We don't want everybody to know. And it's usually because of our bank accounts. That's the main thing. You don't want people to get into those. What other kind of information? Maybe, like you said, your password. Because if some of these people that like to be hackers get your password, they can just get into all kinds of things to you.
Well, credit card information is one that I think of, Doris.
Oh, yeah.
And I have actually discovered, I've gone back to a couple of sites where I have purchased things before, and they will still have my credit card information there. You know, it just pops up, same credit card, whatever. And there's ways people can access that, even in emails or invoices that might be showing up. A lot of that financial data is there.
Isn't that terrible that people have to go around? It's sort of like stealing. It's kind of like getting into your house and stealing, isn't it?
It really is. And, of course, some people do their work or their profession on their mobile devices or laptops too. So that's another security risk.
Business things, right.
Yeah.
So hackers are really big thieves actually, aren't they?
Well, yeah. It's we've turned into, you know, cyber criminals is the way we – you know,
right.
What we call them now. So they don't actually physically have to come to your house anymore. Although, that's something different. We're talking about online crimes. But still, this highlights the importance of these gadgets. Siciliano, we see here, was shocked to discover that some people didn't take any security precautions at all before selling a computer. I love the example they give here about the guy asking him what to do. Did you ever do that, Brian?
No, and I hope I never do. That's pretty naive.
Yeah, log me out of my Gmail because I might be logged in. Wow, they just don't seem to understand. People don't understand technology enough. We're using a lot of modern technology, but most of us don't understand it as deeply as we should.
Yeah, that's a great example right there. If somebody could – if Siciliano had access to this guy's Gmail, he actually may have had access to banking information – credit card information, social security number, which you mentioned before, all sorts of data that he could have used for his own financial gain.
And so because he's in security, he's very aware of it. But what he was surprised is he said he didn't realize how naive people are. Naive is a good word to have in your vocabulary.
It sure is. The adjective naive means too ready to believe someone or something or to trust that someone's intentions are good, especially because of a lack of experience. So the person who passed on this computer did not have enough experience, and he trusted that people's intentions were good when they may not always be good.
And naive is something that people who are not aware of what's going on, what kind of people are naive? Sometimes educated people are even naive. We think of children as being very naive. Somebody will tell them something and they might believe it. When you get older, you don't believe everything you hear.
Yeah, children are naive. But when we don't have experience in certain areas or even in the world, we might be naive as far as we don't know exactly how things operate in the world.
So it's a little bit dangerous to be naive nowadays, isn't it, Bill?
Well, you know, sometimes what he's saying here, too, is when you're naive about this information, you can't really trust. You can't trust everybody to be good. Not mm-hmm. everybody's going to be a great person and right. nice and, mm-hmm. you know, return the wallet, not access your information,
right.
give back your stuff. Not necessarily.
So this is what we have to be careful of, because this data that's in there stays on. It lingers on. The idea of lingering means you cannot get rid of it that easily. So let's read the next section about lingering data.
Lingering data. In the end, Siciliano was able to glean personal data from 15 of the devices through his own hacking efforts and the help of a forensic expert. That information included bank account information, social security numbers, child support documents, credit card account logins, and a host of other personal data. And the worst part? Most of those phones and computers had already been wiped by their previous owners, meaning all personal files had been deleted and the user had restored the device's factory settings as per the manufacturer's instructions. What's really scary is even if you follow protocol, the data is still there, Siciliano said.
So remember now, this, what's his name?
Siciliano.
Oh, that's a very Italian name.
A nice Robert. Italian okay. name.
Right. But he worked for a security company. But he also knew how to do hacking because he had to know how to do it so he could build systems against it. And in the end, he was able to glean. To glean means to go through things carefully and get out something from it. When you glean the information, it's not easy to glean things.
That's right. Or for our students who read the article, we hope they can glean the main points or to glean the main ideas from the article to pull them out and understand them.
That's true, right? Yeah. So he was able to get or glean personal information, data even, from 15 of the different ones that he bought through his own hacking. Now, he's not a professional hacker, but he needs to know how to do this hacking in order to do his job.
Well, at first, Doris, this is amazing. He bought 30 gadgets, and he was able to get information from half of them, 50%. That's a pretty good hit rate. Now, as far as his own hacking efforts, he works in the security field, and ironically, many of the people that work in that field were former hackers. These are actually the best people to work in the security field because they know how to beat the system.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe he is taking some of his own skills and applying them in a more productive way now, helping with security. Now, we see there he also had some help not only from his hacking efforts but forensics.
That's right, Bill. And when I hear forensics, I usually think of criminals, police tracking criminals, going through clues, collecting clues about the crime scene and the bodies and things like that. So, Bill, what exactly would a forensic expert do with a cell phone?
Well, what forensic experts do to solve crimes is they piece together tiny bits of information that are gathered from different places. How that would come into play with a cell phone or a gadget is they can pick up one piece of information in this place, in your email. Then they can go to maybe a message. They can search your messages. They can find another piece of information there and then maybe go into another file or some other storage that you have and find another piece of information. And ultimately, they can piece together all of that information. I bet there are people that could go into my computer and go into different places, discover my ID one place.
What's your password, Bill?
It's not IO. But anyways, but they could probably go into my computer and piece together enough information that where they would probably be able to access a lot of my accounts.
Is there a lot of money in your bank account? Is it worth it?
Well, they may access it. They aren't going to find anything.
But you know, it's really scary, though, isn't it, to think of people doing something like that? Really is frightening.
Hmm.
And your social security number, they can use that to get information from banks and so forth.
They can apply, actually.
Right.
That's the big thing with this is that they're not so much going to go in and grab money out of my bank account, but if they are able to get enough personal information, they can then apply for new accounts, new credit cards, then start charging things. And then what they do is the stuff they buy, then they resell for cash, which are used for crime.
They could probably even go to the bank if they get enough information.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
and child support documents. And a lot of people who are divorced and the husband is paying money for child support, they could find out all that information, right?
Yeah, yeah. Child support, of course, being the money that the divorced husband pays to, you know, pay for the kids' education and food and things.
A credit card, that would be scary.
Very scary. Very huge potential danger there because now you don't even have to be there in person and hand over a physical card. You can buy so many things online that – and it can happen within minutes. You can have tens of thousands of dollars charged on a credit card to your name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and a whole stuff means a lot of other personal information you just don't want people to know.
That's right, Doris. It makes me wonder if maybe when we used to do all these payments through the mail, maybe we were actually a lot safer than trying to do them all electronically.
That's what I think. You know, some people are afraid to put them on, and yet it's so handy when you're traveling or away from home or you don't have to go to the bank just to do it on your computer, your smartphone. And it's supposed to be secure. They have HTTPS, which is secure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then that's you right. Sometimes say, well, how secure is it? It might be mm-hmm. while you're using it, but if you don't get rid of it, somehow they can get that information if they get your old cell phone or your old computer.
Yeah, it is. It's a matter of convenience, and because of that, now everybody's doing so many things online. I'm kind of strange in a way. I actually I try and avoid doing that as much as possible. I don't do many transactions online.
Well, sometimes, you know, you buy books or you buy things that you get from the States and they're sent out. And it's pretty easy to do that, actually, sometimes.
It is.
And you get discounts and free shipping, and they do everything to help you do that.
I know. It's very attracting, very attractive.
But most of those phones and computers, they've already been wiped by their previous owners. And all the files were deleted, and the user had restored the device's factory settings just like the manufacturer said. So you try to follow the instructions. Does that always work?
It doesn't always work, unfortunately, and that's very alarming that the manufacturer even has set up this way for you to wipe it. So it should be completely clean of your data, but as Mr. Siciliano said, what's really scary is even if you do follow protocol, the data is still there. And, of course, protocol is one of our vocabulary focus terms, a great word to know. It means the specific rules or an exact method to be followed. So a lot of people have to follow protocols when they do things. And like you
said, isn't that right? Especially in the government or the military, they say you have to follow protocol. You have to do the standard that's already been set.
That's right. You have to follow it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your standard operating procedure. Protocol often can also be referred in different terms as far as like it's an identity, as far as a technical identity, as far as what's your protocol. And that might identify your location. It might identify the specific code that files can be sent to. In this case, we are talking about behavior and following procedure.
But you follow the way that they've set up for you to do. They said, do this, and you've done it. You've done everything the way it was laid out for you, the way it was stated to do. You did it. But the problem is the data is still there.
The data is still there. And I'm actually surprised, Doris, that a lot of people actually did this. I think most people don't even go back and read the manual to find out how do I delete it.
They don't even have the manual. I mean, you lose it after a while. You don't
Where's
need it.
Where's the box? I don't know where the box is. Where's the manual? I threw it away 5 years ago.
Right. Even last year, Bill. Okay.
And a lot of – okay, he's talking about people selling this stuff online on Craigslist. I think what happens with a lot of people too, they end up with gadgets sitting in a drawer in their home. And they might end up with two or three phones or maybe a little a notebook computer or a netbook. And you got all this stuff sitting around. The problem is somebody could break into your home and just grab all of that equipment.
Well, now you're really talking about thieves.
No,
but,
yeah.
But like even if you sell it or even if you give it away, whatever you do, you have to be sure that everything that you had on there is wiped clean. So don't throw away your identity. When you throw away something, be sure that it's really clean. Now, so far we've said it's pretty hard to do. So when you come back tomorrow, what we're going to try to find out is it possible? There are certain things we can try to do, but remember, we have to do something. So the lesson should tell us to be very careful.
That's right. Think twice before you pass along your phone.
Yeah, and I'm thinking the same thing. Before you pass along the phone, even if you sell the phone, I don't even know if it's worth it for the small amount of money that I might be able to get for an old phone. It's not even worth it, I think.
Sometimes you give your computer away to give it to kids or something, and then they don't use it anymore, and they put it out in the garbage can, like we saw in the picture here, after a while, and there's still stuff on it that somebody might want.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we have to do, is be careful, right?
Yeah, be very careful with that.
Don't throw away your computer. Don't throw away your identity. So we have to find out what we can do about that. You be sure and come back tomorrow. We'll talk about it a little bit more. But today, we have talked about the dangers, not only wiping it clean, but being sure that all the data is gone. Can we be sure? Let's find out again. Come back tomorrow.
Okay, we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Okay, goodbye.
See everybody.
Bye-bye.